Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my recap of the NBA Finals, all that went on. We'll talk about it here. We'll talk coaching news, guys. A lot of it, it seems. Also, we'll talk some WNBA as well. Some injuries took place there. I'll talk about my NBA All-Star ballot. I'll mention that as well. And other little juicy tidbits. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, we have finally reached the end of the NBA season officially. The finals are now over. So we will talk about that. Talk about some coaching news, guys, some big coaching news that has taken place. We'll talk about that as well. My WNBA All-Star ballot, some injuries in the WNBA as well. Chelsea Gray, she makes her return back to playing basketball. So a lot of news and tidbits here. So let's get right into it. Let us not delay. The NBA Finals is now over, guys. We had the number one seed in the East, Boston, taking on the 5 seed in the West, the Dallas Mavericks, and we know how Boston got there, how they ran through the East, basically, and we know how Dallas ends up being the Clippers, then they end up getting to the finals, you know, getting through a number of teams over there as well. So, with that said, let's go through each of the games. Of course, Boston has the home court, so in game one, they would win that 107-89. Boston in that game, the story, assists and field goal percentage, guys. This, the Boston had 23 assists to Dallas's 9. And think about this. Luka by himself averages 9 assists. And then field goal percentage for Boston, 47.6%, whereas Dallas, 41.7%. And then Boston obliterates them from three, dropping 16 threes in that game versus Dallas's 7. So there's your disparity right there, if you want to take a look at that. For the Celtics, Jaylen Brown, 22 points. He shot it well from the field, guys. 7-for-12, along with 6 rebounds, 3 blocks, 3 steals, and 2 assists. Kristaps Porzingis, I told you guys, if he makes some kind of appearance in these finals, that Boston's in good shape. And guys, he came off the bench in this series, in fact. He gave you 20 points off the bench, shot it well with 6 rebounds, 3 blocks. And then Jason Tatum didn't have a great shooting game, but he did have 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists. For the Mavericks, Luka leading the way, 30 points for him, 10 rebounds, 2 steals, and only 1 assist. Hey, what can you do? And then Kyrie, horrible game, 12 points on 6 of 19 shooting, including 0 of 5 from 3. It's not going to get it done. 3 rebounds, 2 assists for him, and 2 steals. And then you get contributions from guys like PJ Washington, 14 points along with 8 rebounds. So, and then at halftime of this game, number one, Boston was up 63-42. They closed them out. So that's your game one. Boston up 1-0. Second game in Boston, and Boston would take that 105-98. The story in this game, assists again and field goal percentage again. Well, yeah, not so much field goal percentage, but definitely assists. 29 assists for Boston and just the 21 for Dallas. So much better for Dallas in that game in terms of assists, but not enough to overtake Boston in that regard. Boston had 10 threes in this game to Dallas's 6. Leading the way for Boston, Drew Holiday, man. 26 points, had a phenomenal game. 11 rebounds with 3 assists. Then you have Jaylen Brown, 21 points for him. 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 3 steals. Jason Tatum, he shot even worse than he did in game one. But he did have the 18 point, 12 assists, guys. So when your guy's off with his shooting, at the very least, you want him to be able to do other things. And that he did with the 12 assists and the 9 rebounds. Derek White had a nice game for them. 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, and 2 blocks for him. For the Maverick, Luka Doncic, of course, 32 points along with 11 rebounds, 11 assists. So he gives you the triple-double along with 4 steals, but in a losing effort. And then Kyrie, his house of horror continues, 16 points on 7 of 18 shooting, all 3. In your first 2 games in Boston, guys, Kyrie Irving shoots 0-for-8 from 3. Not going to get it done, guys. And then PJ Washington with his 17 points and 7 rebounds. Game 3. So the series shifts to Dallas, where they'll play in Dallas. Game 3, Boston steals it, 106-99. In a game where Dallas actually led at the half, 51-50. In this game, again, Boston taking care of them in terms of assists. 26 assists for Boston to Dallas's 15. And the field goal disparity, 46.7% for Boston, 44.2% for Dallas. So there is a bit of a disparity in that regard. And then this game, 17 threes for Boston, only 9 for Dallas. Leading the way is Jason Tatum, giving you much better production in his first 2 games, 31 points. 6 rebounds, 5 assists for him. Jaylen Brown with a 30-piece himself. 8 rebounds, 8 assists. Kristaps Porzingis didn't play in this one, guys. In fact, he didn't play at all in the games in Dallas, which makes you wonder now. Did he not want to face the crowd there, or is it an actual injury? But it turns out it was an actual injury that kept him up. So we'll give him grace here. Derek White, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks for him. Active game for Derek White. In a losing effort, Kyrie Irving shows up, 35 points for him. He goes on to obliterate what he did in the first 2 games in Boston, with his 35 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Luka, he has 27 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. PJ Washington, 13 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. So right now you have Boston with a 3-0 vantage. And guys, we've cited the history many times over. No team has overcome a 3-0 deficit to win a series. Hasn't happened, guys. Will history be broken? So we move on to game four. And game four, Dallas is saved face with an absolute drubbing of Boston. 122-84. In that game, Dallas was leading at halftime 61-35. Yeah, I mean, they took them to the woodshed. And this one, rebounding was the story, guys. Dallas had 52 rebounds to Boston's 31. So Dallas controlling the boards in game four. And field goal percentage, that also told the story. Dallas over 50% from the field, and Boston a little over 36% from the field for six. In this game, Dallas does have the 3-point goal advantage, 15 threes to Boston's 14, so barely advantage there. And Dallas's Mitchell, by the way, obliterates Boston there, 54-40. Luka leads the way, 29 points for him, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. Kyrie puts up 21, along with 6 assists and 4 rebounds. Tim Hardaway Jr. off the bench, 15 points on 5 threes, guys, along with 3 rebounds. For Boston, not much of a story. Jason Tatum does lead the way with 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and Jaylen Brown with just 10 points. Four of 12 from the field. No. 3 of 12 from the field with the 2 assists. Then the scene sets to Boston, with Boston having a 3-1 lead. In game 5, it just wasn't to be. Boston would win that 106-88, a game where they led at halftime 67-40. So Boston not playing around in game 5, taking care of business. Again, the assists told the story, and also the rebounding as well. Boston with 25 assists to Dallas's 18. Boston on the boards, 51 rebounds to Dallas's 35. Field goal percentage, oddly enough, guys, Dallas actually had the advantage in this game, shooting nearly 45% from the field, whereas Boston nearly 43. So kind of an odd thing there. The 3-point goals, Boston with 13, Dallas with 11. So not too much of a too lopsided in that regard. So in that game, Jason Tatum, it's a must game, guys. 31 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, and 2 steals for him. He comes out guns blazing. Jaylen Brown, 21 points. Didn't shoot it all that well. He did have the 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. And Drew Holiday, 15 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists for him. And in a losing effort, Luka Doncic, of course, 28 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. And Kyrie, he just didn't have it in Boston, guys. 15 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds. Shot at 5 of 16 from the field. Guys, for the series, He averaged just 14 points, over 14 points in the Boston games, three of those games, with nearly six assists. He shot it from the field, guys, in Boston, 18 of 50. It's not good, guys. And then just 3 of 17 from 3. That's absolutely disgraceful. So, not good, Kyrie. And then Josh Green off the bench with 14 points. So, Boston takes the series in 5 games. Guys, when I gave my NBA Finals preview, I said Boston in 5. It came to fruition. So, you know, I got to crow a little bit about that. But I saw the handwriting on the wall, guys, especially given the Jaylen Brown factor. Boston had no one really to deal with him. So he was able to kind of run roughshod in this series. So much so, he ends up winning the Finals MVP. It could have gone a number of ways, guys. You could have gave it to Jason Tatum, who had a fine series himself. I think you could have even gave it to Drew Holiday because of the job he did on Kyrie. And plus, he had some nice games himself. So, but in the end, it goes to Jaylen Brown. So we give kudos to him for winning the Finals MVP. So, guys, that is your series there. So, Dallas Mavericks, what's next for them? First, let's take our hats off to Dallas for, you know, getting to the Finals, number one, and, you know, doing the best they can. And if you really look at it, guys, it was just the Luka and Kyrie show that carried them up until this point. You know, you had your moments with guys like PJ Washington, with guys like Derek Lively. He had some nice moment. Tim Hardaway Jr. here and there. Your Daniel Gafford's. But if you really look at this team, guys, this is one of the worst rosters to make a NBA Finals in quite a while. LeBron's Cleveland Cavaliers, when he had guys like Matthew Dellavedova and, you know, hobbling Kevin Love. That gives me visions of that, guys. So when all is said and done, to the victors goes the spoils. Boston was the best team in the league all year long. This should culminate in them winning the championship. They took care of business. So you definitely got to give kudos to them. So with that said, what's next for Dallas? Right now, they're 9th in salary in terms of, you know, total player salary. Free agents, not too many to name. Markieff Morris, who you got on a buyout anyway. So he's going to be a free agent. Derrick Jones Jr., who actually started for Dallas. So he kind of gave you a little bit of something there. You know, all the talk was about Luka being out of shape and how he needs to get in the gym and get stronger and all these sort of things. I say, Luka, for the most part, did as best as he could, guys. You know, his defense leaves a lot to be desired. So that's something he should probably add to his game. But you really can't fault him all in all. He had a fine series, but, you know, it just wasn't enough to get over the hump, guys. That's the way it goes in these situations. So what can you do? But Kyrie, yeah, the series he had was a little disappointing. He had the good games in Dallas, but he just couldn't give you anything when he was in Boston. To which let me talk about, because, you know, I heard all the pundits and whatnot. Emmanuel Achiu, he's at it again, guys. Here's what he said about Kyrie. Kyrie chose the wrong time to find himself. Where's the real Kyrie? Because the Kumbaya Kyrie ain't it. And he just went on a tangent, talking this and talking that. Boston was supposed to be where you know, was able to kind of dominate, and you didn't. In truth, he didn't have a fine series in Boston. He just didn't. So if you want to say that, fine, I'll meet you there. But all this extra stuff you're saying, the man is maturing right now. He's in a better state, and good for him. You know, it's called maturation, Mr. Achiu. I shouldn't even call him Mr. with the nonsense he's talking these days. But yeah, come on now. What are we even doing here? You right now, you just clowning. You're just buck dancing. What's good? And Steven Jackson had to be like, yeah, you out of line with this one here. You go on too far with this. And I agree. I agree with Steven Jackson. You see, he's on this thing now where he's like this high and mighty plane that he's on. And then, you know, people cite, you know, he has as many games as he has tackles when he played in the NFL, but that's a story for another day. But yeah, you kind of talking out your behind, Achiu. So yeah, I think Dallas needs a third reliable scoring option because they just don't have it right now. It's either Luka, Kyrie, or bust. And that's not good. I mean, PJ Washington, he shouldn't be your third option. He should not be your third option. Tim Hardaway Jr., they've tried to make him the third option. He's just too inconsistent. Derek Lively, I think he'll develop, be a nice player, but a third option, I don't see that. Josh Green, a young kid who could possibly develop into something. Third option, I don't think that's it for him right now. So they need a third option. How they go about doing that remains to be seen. Because a lot of these guys here, you know, you got Luka with the high salary, Kyrie with the high salary. You just got to find a way to add that third person, because all the rest of your guys are kind of like mid-salary type of guys. So you maybe got to package a few of them to get you that third option. We'll see. And then for Boston right now, they have the fifth highest salary in the league right now in terms of free agents. You got a Luke Kornet, Xavier Tillman, guys that are on toward the end of your bench. O'Shea Brissett, also, who has a player option. And Sam Hauser actually has a team option at $2 million that I'm sure Boston will definitely opt in on Sam Hauser and possibly, you know, give him, you know, renegotiate his deal and maybe give him a little more money, because he did have a nice series coming off the bench. But I think the big question for Boston, locking in Tatum long term. You did it for Jaylen Brown. You broke records paying Jaylen Brown. Are you going to do the same thing for Jason Tatum? You would think yes. But I've seen stranger things happen, guys. So I don't know if I solidly say that. He will get his money next year, $34.8 million. And then the following year, he has the player option at $37 million. So I say if he has a season similar to this season, he opts out of that player option. With that player option, he opts out. Either he'll get a new deal with Boston, or he'll just take his services somewhere else. And then Derek White, you got to think about him. He'll be on the last year of his deal at $20 million. And Derek White, he was very invaluable for Boston. So especially when you lose a guy like Marcus Smart, you definitely need a guy like a Derek White in there who can play off the ball, on the ball, and he can defend. Back, you got two of the best defenders in the backcourt with both him and Drew Holiday. Let me say this about Drew Holiday. He now has a second NBA championship. He's a gold medalist. He's the modern day Dennis Johnson. Not a guy with a lot of flash, not a guy who calls attention to himself, but he's a solid player. I don't even know if I call him a role player. He's a floor general who knows how to get his team in order, who knows when to pull the trigger, when not to. He's just that type of player. And I think in the long run with this second championship, be it with a whole nother team, he has a championship in Milwaukee and championship here, I think this championship could push him into the Hall. I think that. Will it happen? I think it will. I think in time it will. Time will look at what he's done and say, yeah, he might end up in the Hall. He might end up there. So, Drew Holiday, hats off to you as well. So, with that said, that's it. That's the recap of your NBA Finals, guys. So, congratulations to Boston. They won their 18th championship. So, they passed the Los Angeles Lakers to be the all-time winningest franchise when it comes to championships. So, kudos to them. I heard it being debated which is the better franchise between them and the Lakers for reasons unbeknownst to me. Stephen A. Smith, on First Take, he chose the Lakers. And I watched actually on Wednesday when Christopher Mad Dog Russo was on there. He called them nuts for that take because remember, head-to-head Boston versus the Lakers, Boston had the advantage 9 games out of those 12, they won the championships. 4 of those Laker championships that they have were won in Minnesota. So if you take that even away, the Lakers only have the 13. So think about that, guys. So yeah, Boston, yeah, they're the better franchise because they have the they have more title. That's just a numbers game, you know, basically, when it comes down to it. So kudos to Boston. All right, guys, so let's talk some coaching news. The big news, Lakers find their man, J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick on a 4-year deal. I didn't see the terms of the deal. I know it's a 4-year deal that he's getting. I doubt strongly if it's anywhere near the money they were offering Dan Hurley of the UConn Huskies. Remember, guys, and I reported on this, 6 years at $70 million. And a lot of people thought they should have hiked it up to get Dan Hurley to leave UConn. So I don't see J.J. Redick getting that type of money. My math serves me correct. Just a shade under 12 million. I don't think J.J. Redick getting 12 million or anywhere near that to coach the Lakers. It's an interesting hire. I was one who thought that the Lakers were going out of their way not to hire J.J. Redick if they go and hire him. I get it. I understand him and LeBron is doing that podcast together. Now, here's my question now. Do they still do that podcast now that J.J. Redick is the head coach? Something to think about. But Yeah, so J.J. Redick gets the job. He joins the likes of guys like Mark Jackson, Jason Kidd. You also seen it happen with Magic, with Larry Bird. Guys who go from playing to straight to head coach. Doesn't happen very often, guys. And really the track record for those type of guys. And Doc Rivers as well. Like he was the other. Out of all those guys, Doc Rivers had the longevity out of all of them. So, yeah. Be honest, I don't know how this is going to go. We know J.J. Redick's, he's very analytical. He'll be one of those guys where, you know, analytics is involved and all these sort of things. So, interesting hire. We'll see what happens. I still stand by what I said last episode. The Laker coaching job, head coaching job, but job. And for a guy like J.J. Redick with no coaching experience to walk into that, you're walking into a den of wolves when you do that. But, hey, we'll see what happens, guys. But J.J. Redick, the now head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. In other coaching news, guys, Monty Williams out as Detroit Pistons coach. And guys, remember, he got that big contract, 6 years, $78.5 million. They owe him another $65 million. They're going to pay him $65 million to sit at home. Unbelievable. He did go 14-68. I mean, he didn't have much of a roster. And remember, he had the 28-game losing streak. That's not good. They already fired GM Troy Weaver, who on this show I predicted he would be out as the GM. And they let him go at the end of May. This is a statement from the owner about Monty Williams. Decisions like these are difficult to make, and I want to thank Monty for his hard work and dedication. Coaching has many dynamic challenges that emerge during a season, and Monty always handled those with grace. However, after reviewing our performance carefully and assessing our current position as an organization, we will chart a new course moving forward. I have great respect for Monty as a coach and as a person. I am certain he will be successful in his future endeavors. We wish him and his family the very best. This is from the Detroit Pistons owner, Tom Gores. Here's my question, though. He played for them under Mike Krzyzewski back in the day. He's going to make the new hire in terms of coach. But here's my question to the owner of the Pistons, Tom Gores. Monty Williams hasn't lost any games between the end of the season and up to these NBA finals throughout the playoffs. What changed from the end of the season to now? What changed? He didn't lose any games along the way. What changed that made you say we need to go in another direction? You could have did it months ago. Now you come up against the NBA draft, which will be in about a week's time, actually less than a week, and you have no coach. Oh, by the way, you have no GM Ivan. What are we doing in Detroit? This is an embarrassment. This is a disgrace. How could you do this without a plan? So will they hire a coach before the draft? Maybe they will. Maybe. But this is a bad look, guys. There's no other way to slice this. This is a bad move. But kudos to Monty. He gets to sit at home, count his millions. He don't have to go rushing into a job. And I, before the Laker announcement of hiring J.J. Redick, I was saying to myself, Monty, do not take that Laker job. Don't do it. Don't do it. And we only have to worry about that now. So, but here's what I will say. Keep an eye on the Cleveland Cavaliers. They haven't hired a coach yet. My thinking was it was going to be Johnny Bryant, assistant coach for the New York Knicks. My thinking is that he's a shoo-in to be the coach. As of this recording, Monty Williams is now free. That would be an ideal situation for Monty Williams to walk into. A team, you don't have to worry about young guys. You got a roster over there. All you have to do is bring back Donovan Mitchell, re-sign him, bring him back into the fold. Monty Williams would do wonders with that Cleveland Cavaliers team. But we'll see what happens. My thinking is that is Johnny O'Brien. I think it's Johnny Bryan for the New York Knicks. So we'll see what happens there. But that would be ideal for Monty. But I don't know if Monty wants to leap into another situation so quick. Monty Williams is out as pissing, though. Jeff Van Gundy, speaking of coaches, Jeff Van Gundy, the Los Angeles Clipper, hire him to be Tyronn Lue's top assistant. Last season, he was a consultant for the Boston Celtics, and wonder if he gets a ring being a consultant with the Boston Celtics, but no. And of course, he was on ESPN for 16 years doing color analyst work, working with the number one team with Mike Breen and Mark Jackson. So Jeff Van Gundy back in the coaching game, guys, as Tyronn Lue's top assistant. Tyronn Lue, who I reported, not the last episode prior to, that he actually was prior to, that he signed that extension with the Los Angeles Clippers. Thought, got to give them props for that. Pascal Siakam, guys, he's set to sign a four-year, $189.5 million max deal with the Indiana Pacers, guys. That would put him at an average of over $47 million per year. This is what he did in the games, the regular season games, guys. He played in 41 of them, over 21 points per game, nearly 8 rebounds, nearly 4 assists, almost 55% from the field, guys. Impressive. And nearly 70% from the free throw line. He had 8 double-doubles, 1 triple-double. So Pascal Siakam, who, and in the playoffs, he had a solid playoffs for them. Indiana's doing the prudent thing, keeping Siakam in the fold there. You could build with him, with Tyrese Haliburton there. They'll have a Miles Turner there. Need some pieces here and there, maybe some guys to mature. But solid move for Indiana to keep Siakam in the fold there. And it's kind of a no-brainer, to be honest with you. So Pascal Siakam getting paid by the Indiana Pacers. Let us move on. Trade, this just came down the pike. Alex Caruso of the Chicago Bulls, he's headed to the Oklahoma City Thunder. In exchange, they get Josh Giddey, the Australian point guard for the Thunder. He will be going to the Bull. I think this is a win-win. This one is a win-win. Oklahoma City gets a guy who's an absolute dog. Who'll go in there, he'll give you defense, he'll hustle, he'll get floor burns. He's that type of guy. He'd be a perfect fit next to a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Alex Caruso would be. So definitely like it for the Thunder. And for the Bulls, this is a team starving for point guard play. And Josh Giddey, I think the whole thing with the underage girl really kind of wrecked his season. I think mentally he just wasn't there. He didn't have the same fire, the same desire. So maybe a change of venue will be helpful for him. So I expect to see a better looking Josh Giddey in Chicago. Where does that leave a guy like Lonzo Ball? Don't know, because we don't know how he looks. You know, he's been out with the knee injury the past couple of seasons. So I think Chicago's doing the right thing here. You can't hang your hat on what Lonzo's going to do. So you bring in a Josh Giddey. And I think you kind of get him at a bargain because of the season he had last season. So I think this is a win-win across the board. So we'll see what happens there. And then we're wishing a healthy recovery for Hall of Famer Alonzo Mourning. He underwent prostate surgery. He had his prostate removed, guys. Remember, he was diagnosed with stage 3 prostate cancer. This is one of those cancers that, you know, takes a lot of us out. So he's trying to get ahead of things and get that taken care of. So we definitely sending prayers, love, and light towards Alonzo Mourning and his family at this time. That's for sure. Then let's turn our attention to the WNBA. Couple of injuries here, guys. Cameron Brink of the Los Angeles Sparks. She suffers a torn ACL in a road game versus the Connecticut Sun. A game that I watched on Monday. She went down kind of awkward. Her and Breonna Jones seemed like they were going for the ball, but Brink, she kind of came down awkward on her leg and knee kind of gave out. And it turned out it's a torn ACL, guys, unfortunately. So this puts her out for the season and out for the Olympics. Because remember, guys, she is playing in the 3-on-3 Olympic. Mind you, in the World Cup, she was named the MVP of that run that they had, Cameron Brink. So a crushing blow, not only to the Los Angeles Sparks in the league as a whole, also to the Olympics also. So definitely wishing a speedy recovery, prayers up for Cameron Brink. She's a young lady I enjoy watching. From her days at Stanford, loved how she plays the game, her tenacious D, and I'm wishing nothing but the best for this young lady. So on the season, she played 15 games, 7.5 points, over 5 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, guys. So she was among the league leaders in that and over a steal per game. So again, wishing definitely healing, and when I say healing, not only physically, but mentally as well for Cameron Brink as she recovers from this knee injury. As far as replacements goes, guys, Azura Stevens, she hasn't played yet this season, so I think you'll have to see what's what with her. But out there, who you can pick up? Queen Egbo, who we last saw with the Connecticut Sun, only played in 3 games for them. But guys, she is a player on the sideline, so she's somebody you can bring in as an extra big over there. Because I'm sure the Sparks, they can use a big. So if Azura Stevens isn't ready, you can always look towards a Queen Egbo. So be that as it is. All right. So that's one injury. Matty Seagrass, guys, for the Dallas Wings, who I thought was a player in the running for most improved player. She's out indefinitely, guys, with a broken finger, and she suffered that in a road loss to the Minnesota Lynx. So another crushing blow for that team. They're already without Natasha Howard. Oh, and Sato Sabali, they're without her also. I think Howard is back, I'm not mistaken, but Sato Sabali with the shoulder, she's still out. So another crushing blow for the Dallas Wings, who's had a tough go of it early in the season. So we're definitely sending, you know, quick recovery and healthy recovery for Matty Seagrass. And Ryan Howard, guys, she turns her ankle in a road loss to Minnesota Lynx. And this is like 2 nights later. Ryan Howard, she turns her ankle, and she does it by stepping on Courtney Williams. And by doing so, she turns her ankle. Haven't got a diagnosis for her yet. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. So we also, for her, wish a quick recovery, and hopefully it's not as bad as it may seem. All the prayers up for Ryan Howard, as well as Seagrass and Cameron Brink. Condolences to Courtney Vandersloot of the New York Liberty and her family on the passing of her mom, Dan. Just heard about that this evening, so we definitely want to send condolences to the Vandersloot family. Prayers up, and may you be comforted in this time and hour on the passing of the matriarch of your family, Jan. So definitely sending out condolences there. And gently moving from there to Chelsea Gray. She is back with the Las Vegas Aces. She made her debut last night in a home game versus the Seattle Storm that they beat in that game. Chelsea, 1 point. So, you know, her shooting is a bit off, but that'll come in time. 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks for her. And she was so happy to be back on the court. Las Vegas Aces looks like an entirely different team when number 10 is on the floor. When she's on the floor, things happen for that squad. Chelsea Gray, glad to see you back in the fold. To all the naysayers on social media saying, oh, she only had 1 point. This is her first game back. She only played 15 minutes. Relax. Let her get back in the swing of things. She came back at a perfect time. This is, well, at this recording, this gives her about a month's time or so to get herself back into playing shape, get her rhythm back. So once she does that, then she can enter the Olympics on good footing, no pun intended. So yes, so Chelsea Gray is back, guys. So we can kind of, for the moment at least, put to rest the notion of her not playing in the Olympics. Seems like if all goes well, she's headed towards the Olympic going to Paris. And then the last thing I'll talk about really quick. I did my all-star ballot, guys. And the way it shook out, you have to pick 6 front court players and 4 guards. So here's what I chose. 6 front court players. De'Erica Hamby's, who's having a fantastic season for the Los Angeles Sparks. I picked her. Nek Okwumike of the Seattle Storm. Dawana Bonner of the Connecticut Sun. Jonquel Jones, who's playing fantastic for the New York Liberty. So he's the fourth player. Ezzy Magbigor, solid player for the Seattle Storm. And then I chose Brianna Jones of the Connecticut Sun. The way I looked at it, she's playing well, guys. She's looks like her old self again. Very solid around the rim. She hardly ever misses. And she's a major part of that. So I picked Brianna Jones. But in hindsight, I think it could be a case where Angel Reese could possibly get that sixth spot. So to me, I think the first five, I think those are pretty much locked. But I think it between Brianna Jones and Angel Reese, because I think the Angel Reese fans will flood the box for Angel. So could be a possibility Angel gets in. I vote for Brianna because I thought she was having the better season. Although Angel is breaking all these records here, especially the double doubles. So yeah, so that's how my front court shook out. And then in the front, in the amongst the guards, chose Erica Ogunbowale, who I heard she pulled herself out of the running for the Olympics. She was on the Nightcap show with Unk, Shannon Sharp, and Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson. And you can hear the interview over there why she pulled her name out. Very interesting to listen to, by the way. So Ogunbowale, I picked as one guard. Caleb McBride for the top team in the West, the Minnesota Lynx. Picked her. Alyssa Gray for the Atlanta Dream. And then Caitlin Clark. I think she gets the fourth spot in terms of the guards. I know her fans are going to flood the box for her. So, and wouldn't it be interesting, guys, if the All-Star team ended up with both Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese on it? Keep an eye on that, though. It'll be definitely interesting. All right, guys. So that's it for me. I thank you for listening. As always, all things basketball with genie.com. That's the website. YouTube, I'm there. Podcast platforms, I'm there as well. And on my website, there's support buttons there that you can use. Buy me a coffee. Spotify button is there. Also, my PayPal button is there. Cash App me, GD, that sports dude. $GD, that sports dude. That's the Cash App. Support the show, guys. That'd be wonderful for us. We can do bigger things. You guys support the show. And then on all the social platforms, I'm there. IG, Facebook, X, Twitter, TikTok. You know, I'm doing my video there as well. All right, guys. So that's it. I thank you for listening as always. And we'll talk soon. Take care.